person, I hope you're having an amazing day. And if not, that's okay too. Welcome to the third episode of Keep Calm and Mental Health On, a place where we challenge the pressures of modern life and focus on building a healthier, happier mindset. I'm Aditi Adiga, and I'm so excited to have you here this episode. Whether you're tuning in for the first time or you've been following along since episode one, I want to thank you for being here. It means a lot to me. Today's topic is one that I think we all need to hear about more often. Self-care. What does it actually mean? Is it just bubble baths and face masks, or is there something deeper behind this buzzword? In this episode, I'm going to break down the true meaning of self-care, share some of the most common misconceptions and myths, explore its different types and ways it can manifest, and guide you through creating a routine that fits your life. Plus, I'll share a few of my own favorite self-care practices that have been game changers for my mental health. So whether you're listening in the car, on a walk, or curled up at home, get comfortable, take a deep breath, and let's dive in. Let's start with the basics. When you hear the word self-care, what comes to your mind? For many of us, it might be images of luxurious spa days, expensive skincare products, or indulgent treats. And while those things can absolutely be a part of self-care, they're just one small piece of the puzzle. At its core, self-care is about intentionally taking time to care for your physical, emotional, and mental well-being. It's about recognizing your needs and making the conscious decision to meet them. The biggest misconception about self-care is that it's selfish, and I can't stress this enough. Self-care is not selfish. It's about making sure your own cup is full so that you can pour into others' without burning out. You can't show up as your best self for your family, friends, or even work if you're running on an empty cup. Now, self-care isn't one size fits all. What works for me might not work for you, and that's perfectly okay. The beauty of self-care is that it's deeply personal. It's about finding what makes you feel whole, balanced, and recharged. So I want you to take a moment right now and think, when was the last time you did something purely for your own well-being? Was it this morning, last week, longer than that? If it's been a while, don't worry, you're not alone, and it's never too late to start. But there are a lot of misconceptions about self-care, so first let's bust a few myths that I've heard. Myth number one, self-care is expensive. Nope, you don't need fancy spa treatments or high-end products. Free self-care exists, like deep breathing, journaling, or simply going outside. Myth number two, self-care is just for lazy people. Actually, it's quite the opposite. Self-care helps you stay productive, focused, and mentally strong. Myth number three, self-care means avoiding responsibility. Taking breaks doesn't mean neglecting responsibilities. In fact, it helps you handle them better. The last myth, you have to earn self-care. You don't need to hit rock bottom to deserve rest. You're allowed to just take care of yourself. No justification is needed. Understanding what self-care isn't can help us embrace what it truly is, a necessary part of a healthy, balanced life. Let's talk about the science behind self-care. It's easy to think of self-care as just a feel-good activity, but it actually has real measurable effects on our brains and bodies. When we engage in self-care, we reduce the levels of cortisol, our body's main stress hormone. High cortisol levels can lead to anxiety, trouble sleeping, and even physical health issues like high blood pressure. Self-care also boosts serotonin and dopamine, the neurotransmitters responsible for happiness and motivation. That's why activities like exercising, spending time with loved ones, or even just stepping outside for fresh air can instantly lift our mood. We hear all the time that self-care is good for us, but let's break it down. What's actually happening in our brain and body when we practice self-care? Number one, the dopamine in the reward system. Ever wonder why checking things off a to-do list or treating yourself to a favorite snack feels good? That's dopamine, the feel-good neurotransmitter at work. Activities like exercise, meditation, and even small wins like finishing a book release dopamine, reinforcing positive habits. Number two, cortisol and stress reduction. Stress triggers the release of cortisol, which is great in small doses, but harmful in excess. Chronic stress can lead to anxiety, fatigue, and even physical health issues. Self-care helps regulate cortisol levels, keeping your body balanced. Some self-care habits like deep breathing, listening to music, and laughing with friends, they all lower cortisol. Number three is the parasympathetic nervous system and relaxation. Your nervous system has two modes, the fight or flight, the sympathetic nervous system when you're stressed or overwhelmed, and the rest and digest, or the parasympathetic nervous system when you're calm and more relaxed. Self-care activates your parasympathetic nervous system, helping your body shift from high stress mode to recovery mode. That's why things like yoga, nature walks, or even just hugging someone you love can instantly make you feel calmer. One of the biggest game changers for me was learning how sleep affects mental health. Studies showed that when we don't get enough rest, our brain struggles to regulate emotions, making stress feel even worse. So if there's one self-care practice you take away from this episode, let it be this. Prioritize your sleep. It's not just about resting your body, it's about healing your mind. So one of the most simple yet most powerful self-care acts is getting enough sleep. Because sleep regulates emotions, memory, and focus, and a lack of sleep increases irritability, anxiety, and even depression. A consistent bedtime routine signals to your brain that it's time to wind down. So next time someone says self-care isn't important, just give them some of this neuroscience. Your brain literally functions better when you take care of yourself. Now, I know that for a lot of us, self-care can come with some guilt. We live in a world that glorifies hustle culture, like I talked about in the last episode, where being busy is seen as a badge of honor. But let's be real, if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't show up fully in our work, relationships, or passions. I've heard so many people say that they feel selfish for taking time from themselves. But think about it this way. When your phone is on 1% battery, you don't feel guilty for charging it, right? You know it needs power to function, and you're the same way. Self-care isn't about ignoring responsibilities. It's about making sure you have the energy and clarity to handle them. So the next time you feel guilty for taking a break, remind yourself, you are recharging, not retreating. One of the most underrated forms of self-care is setting boundaries. If you constantly feel drained by certain relationships, work demands, or social expectations, it might be time to check your boundaries. Setting boundaries doesn't mean pushing people away, it means protecting your energy. Here are a few examples. If a friend constantly vents to you but never asks how you're doing, it's okay to say, "Hey, I care about you, but I'm also feeling overwhelmed right now, so can we talk about something lighter?" If work is taking over your personal time, try setting a rule like, no checking emails after 7 p.m. If social plans leave you exhausted, practice saying, "I'd love to join, but I need a recharge day." Boundaries are about self-respect, not selfishness. The people who truly care about you will understand. And trust me, once you start setting them, you'll notice how much lighter you feel. So I want to share a story that really changed my perspective on self-care. A friend of mine used to be the type of person who said yes to everything, helping others, staying late at events, and pushing through exhaustion all the time. And eventually, it all caught up to her and she hit burnout. She told me that the first thing she did to recover wasn't a huge life-changing step, but it was something more simple. She started by taking 10 minutes every morning just for herself. No emails, no work, no social media, just 10 minutes of deep breathing and journaling. And at first, it felt weird for her, but over time, that small habit helped her build a self-care routine that completely transformed her mental health. Hearing her story made me realize that self-care isn't about making drastic changes overnight. It's about small, intentional steps, and that those steps, they do add up in the long run. So speaking of my friend who took small breaks from social media in the mornings, let's talk about a digital detox and self-care in a hyper-connected world. Let's be real. Our phones are practically an extension of ourselves. But is this constant connectivity draining us more than we realize? Let's talk about digital self-care. The dopamine loop on social media is real, and social media apps are designed to keep us scrolling. Likes, comments, and notifications trigger dopamine, making us crave more. But too much online can actually increase anxiety in comparison. So maybe you can try to set a 30-minute social media limit per day and see how your mind feels. And if you ever find yourself endlessly scrolling bad news and feeling overwhelmed but unable to stop, that's doom scrolling, and it spikes your cortisol levels, keeping your brain in stress mode. So instead of mindlessly scrolling, you can replace that with more intentional content like podcasts, audiobooks, or learning something new that interests you. Here's a challenge. Try to take one full day off from screens. No social media, no texts, just real-world interactions. Read a physical book, go outside without your phone, and have a face-to-face conversation with a friend or family member. You might be surprised how much clearer and calmer your mind feels. Self-care isn't just about bubble baths. It's about protecting your mental space, and sometimes that means logging off. One of the reasons self-care can feel overwhelming, though, is because it comes in so many forms. So let's break it down into a few main categories that make it easier to understand and apply. Physical self-care. This is all about taking care of your body, because let's face it, your body does a lot for you. Some examples of this include eating nourishing meals that fuel you, not just fill you up, moving your body in ways you enjoy, whether that's dancing, yoga, running, or even just a simple stretch or two. And also prioritizing rest and sleep. So many of us are guilty of scrolling too late at night. And remember that physical self-care isn't about looking a certain way, it's about feeling good in your own skin. What about mental self-care? This focuses on nurturing your mind and reducing stress. It's about finding activities that stimulate and relax your brain, like reading a book or listening to a podcast, learning something new like a skill or hobby, and limiting your screen time, especially on social media, to avoid things like comparison traps. The next thing is social self-care. Humans are social beings, and staying connected with others is vital for our mental health. And these can include things like spending quality time with loved ones, even if it's just a phone call, joining a group or community that have shared interests with you, and setting boundaries in relationships to protect your energy. And not all self-care looks the same, and that's totally okay. Some people find peace in journaling, while others feel most recharged after a social hangout. Let's talk about how different personality types can approach self-care. For introverts, you might prefer solo activities like reading, meditating, or going for a quiet walk. And for extroverts, self-care might mean surrounding yourself with positive energy, like calling a friend or joining a new club. For people who prefer planners and structure in their day, scheduling self-care into your day, like blocking out time in your calendar for a hobby, can help ensure that you actually follow through. And for people who are more spontaneous, rigid routines may not work, so you might want to keep a self-care list and choose whatever feels right in the moment. The key, though, is to find what works for you. There's no right way to do self-care. Now that we've covered so much about self-care, let's talk about how to actually build a routine that works for you. How do you actually make self-care a part of your life? Here's a step-by-step guide. The first thing that you want to do is reflect on your needs and start by asking yourself, what areas of your life feel most neglected? And your answer might surprise you. You might also want to consider thinking about what activities make you feel recharged, what's realistic for your schedule, and you want to start small. Self-care doesn't have to be a grand gesture. Even 5 minutes of deep breathing can make a difference. You also want to make sure that you make self-care enjoyable, that it should feel like a treat and not a chore. So choose activities that genuinely bring you joy. But also be flexible. Life happens, and that's okay. If you miss a self-care activity, don't beat yourself up about it. Just try again the next day. Progress is what we're looking for. Here's a simple formula that maybe you can implement just in case you're feeling a little lost or confused still. In the morning, you can start your day with one small act of self-care: stretching, deep breathing, or setting an intention for the day. In the afternoon, you can take a mindful break, whether it's a short walk or listening to a song you love. Then in the evening, try to wind down with something relaxing, like reading, skincare, or gratitude journaling. But if you actually want to build self-care habits, you can try a 30-day self-care challenge to make sure you follow through. How it works is that each day you pick one small act of self-care. And here are some ideas. Maybe day one, you drink a full glass of water first thing in the morning. Day two, you can take a 10-minute walk outside. Day three, you can try something creative like drawing, writing, or dancing. And maybe day four, you can go to bed 30 minutes early. Try ideas like this and make a plan for 30 days. When you're choosing some of these self-care actions, try to consider the two types of self-care: comfort self-care, the cozy, feel-good things like maybe warm drinks, naps, or watching your favorite show, and growth self-care, the challenging things that make you stronger, like working out, setting boundaries, and learning new skills. And we do need both of these. Comfort self-care helps us recover, and growth self-care helps us evolve. But too much comfort leads to stagnation, too much growth leads to burnout. For example, if you're watching Netflix when you're exhausted, that can be good self-care to an extent. But if you're watching it for 6 hours to avoid responsibilities, that's not so great. But it does happen to everyone. You need to realize that you're a human being, because that's what a part of self-care is. So how do you find a balance? Ask yourself, am I using self-care as an excuse to avoid discomfort? Do I challenge myself enough, or do I stick to the easy stuff? And what's one thing I can do today that will help my future self? And whenever you're in doubt, ask, what would my future self thank me for? Skipping a workout today might feel good, but tomorrow you might regret it. And saying no to an event might disappoint someone, but in the future you might feel relief for taking time for yourself. Self-care isn't always comfortable, but it's always worth it. By the end of 30 days, you'll have built a self-care routine that actually sticks. So who's in? Your self-care routine doesn't have to look like anyone else's. The goal is, again, to make it work for you. Okay, so we've talked a lot about self-care, but what about the days when it just feels impossible? Maybe you're overwhelmed, exhausted, or you feel like you don't have time. I hear you. Here are some simple ways to practice self-care even when life is chaotic. The 1 minute rule. If you only have 60 seconds, take a few deep breaths, stretch your body, or drink a glass of water. Small moments count too. And then set the bare minimum self-care habits. On tough days, instead of aiming for an entire workout or entire stretch routine, just do one exercise or one yoga pose. Instead of writing a full journal entry, try just jotting down one sentence. And use what you already do. If you shower, maybe play your favorite music in the background. When traveling to work or school, listen to a feel-good podcast. Stack self-care onto your existing habits that you can't really avoid. Remember that rest is productive. Sometimes self-care is simply letting yourself rest without guilt, and it's okay to pause. Self-care ever does feel like another task on your to-do list, though, take a step back. The goal isn't to be perfect, it's to be kind to yourself. I want to share some of the self-care practices that made a big difference in my life. For example, morning mindfulness and starting my day with 5 minutes of gratitude really helps me to stay grounded. Creative time, nature walks, and also screen-free nights really can help me wind down and boost my mood as well. Remember that self-care isn't just a trend on social media. It's a lifelong practice that you should stick with, but it doesn't have to be perfect. It's about doing what you can, when you can, to take care of your mind and body. And if you take away anything from this episode, let it be this: self-care is not selfish. Small moments matter just as much as big ones, and you deserve rest, peace, and joy, no matter how busy life gets. Thank you for spending this time with me today. If this episode resonated with you, let me know. Send me a message, share it with a friend, or take a moment today to do one small act of self-care. You deserve it. And that's a wrap for today's episode of Keep Calm and Mental Health On. I hope this helped you to see self-care as more than just a buzzword and how it's a powerful way to show yourself love and respect. Remember, self-care isn't about perfection, it's about progress. Start small, be consistent, and most importantly, listen to your body and mind. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review or share it with someone who might need to hear this message. Every share helps spread the word and create a community where rest and mental health are priorities. The next episode will be about romanticizing your life in a new way to sort of look at the world and really make the small moments count. Thank you so much for tuning in to the third episode of Keep Calm and Mental Health On. Your support means the world to me, and I can't wait to continue this journey with you. Until then, remember that your mental health matters, and you're never alone in this journey. Take care of yourself, and I'll see you next time. Signing off with love and leaving you lots of positivity. This is Aditi reminding you to keep calm and mental health on.